Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Sharjock. It's Super Tuesday 4. How many Super Tuesdays can you have? And voters in Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Delaware, and Maryland, head to the polls to help winnow down the field in advance of the Republican and Democratic conventions this summer. 118 delegates are on the table. Get off the table. It's rude. For Ted Cruz and John Kasich, winning them may not make too much of a dent in Donald Trump's wide lead, but it could go a long way to close the gap between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders if things go in his favor. If they go in hers, she may see the finish line. And then there's this business of divide and conquer pact between John Kasich and Ted Cruz. Could that actually work? Who do you think is going to win? Who should these people all be looking at as vice presidential candidates? Yeah, that's right, as vice presidential candidates. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You know what I've been thinking about, folks? Does Hillary, if Hillary gets it, and it does look like she's approaching that, and Trump gets it, what is likely to be the reaction of the Bernie voters and the Cruz voters? And anybody going to sit on their hands? Or, you know, it makes me a little, the whole thing makes me a little crazy, because I happen to be a believer that there are just tough decisions to be made for here. Look, I voted for Bernie, no question. But on the other hand, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, okay, I'm going to sit on my hands, perhaps give it to the other party so that you'll get, you know, 7 Supreme Court judges who, are basically right-wingers? Is that what you're going to do? Well, you sure have, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face in that case. Anyway, I said cut off your nose to spite your face. And our wonderful Ms. Shekai, who is, whose hair answered the phone, she put her hand over her nose. I saw her do that. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jeff in Lake George. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Thank you. Two questions. If Hillary is gets the nomination, what do you think the chances are that she would pick Deval Patrick, number one? If she didn't, what do you think the chances are she would pick a woman for a vice presidential?
Yeah, well, Jeff, we've been talking about this for a couple of days on the roundtable and the panel, on Vox Pop occasionally. The answer is Deval Patrick is one of my favorite people in the whole world. I love the guy. I've interviewed him any number of times. I actually ate a dinner at his house in which he made fish himself with his own hands. So I just want you to know he's my candidate for vice president. I've asked him about it, a lot of times. And he, personally, he's told me, on the record, he's told me he doesn't want the job. He doesn't want to work for anybody else. He wouldn't be a good number two guy, but I think he would. I think if offered it, it would be extremely prestigious for him. I don't think he's going to be able to turn it down. I can say I love the idea. The downside, as you know, is that it's Massachusetts, right next door to New York. Massachusetts doesn't really help in the electoral division, because Massachusetts is going to go Democratic, right? So then he doesn't really offer strategy. Look, in some of these elections, it comes down to two key states, Ohio and Florida, right? And maybe right. And maybe Indiana. So maybe you have to find somebody in one of those states. So was there a second part to that question?
A woman as a vice president.
Well, if I say it on the air, somebody's going to write me a letter saying, I'm not a good guy. But the truth of the matter is, this is historic. The idea of changing the glass, hole in the glass ceiling, and letting it crumble, and having the first woman president, that would be great. Do you really think that there won't be some people? There are always bigots, right? But do you really think there are some people who, that would be dissuaded from doing it for that reason? I don't know, but I suspect, Jeff, it's a good question, but I suspect the answer would be no.
So probably a white male from Ohio or Florida?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Great call.
Appreciate
it. Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. 2551. Let's go to Lisa in Woodstock. Lisa, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just calling to talk about today's election in Rhode Island.
Yep.
And I find it disturbing that two-thirds of the polling places are closed.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard
that. Yeah. And I did call around a few college campuses to see if any polling places were open. And so far, I haven't found any to be open.
Do you live in Woodstock? So what's your particular interest in Rhode Island?
My particular interest is just that I am a citizen who doesn't want to see voter suppression. And, you know, as I've seen it this time from the Democratic Party, not the Republicans.
So what's your hypothesis? Is your hypothesis, I think I can smell it, right?
My hypothesis is that
Bernie people are on college campuses.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I don't know if Rhode Island is in the listening area.
Some of it is. We count it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, and I've gotten it on the way to, we go to Block Island every once in a while, and I've actually heard this thing.
It sounds wonderful all the time.
I've heard the station. There.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks,
but
Lisa.
If there are any voter irregularities in Rhode Island, voters can call 401-648-4995.
Do that again.
I'm just concerned about, you know, about all of these voter irregularities.
Yeah. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. If that's really happening, I don't know. I can just tell you what you're telling me. But if it's happening, it's not.
And of course, you know what happened in Brooklyn. And I just heard today on WAMC Midday Magazine that Eric Schneiderman's investigation has brought out, I guess, a new law that this will voters can't be purged from the rolls in New York unless it is confirmed that they have died.
Yeah.
And that it will be a felony.
Whoa.
And that's just within a week.
I'll bet somebody's shaking in their boots, don't you think?
Well, I hope that some of the provisional ballots will be counted.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate
your
call. Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll go to Gus in Cherry Valley. All right. Mr. Gus in Cherry Valley, you're on.
Hi. It's a very, very short report.
Ms. Gus, I'm so sorry.
In Pennsylvania. And although she had been Hillary pusher early on, she has now voted for Bernie.
So what's that about? I mean, what's the call about? That you're going to tell us that your niece voted for Bernie and not for Hillary?
Yes.
Okay.
My daughter.
Oh, your daughter. I'm so sorry. Well, that's fine. That's just fine. Maybe the next person will call and say, you know, my son voted for Hillary, not Bernie. But anyway.
Well, that can happen, but this was a nice report to me, and I'm just sharing it with you.
I'm so pleased. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Mango Tree Imports, a global fair trade shop in downtown Saratoga Springs, New York, featuring artisan goods from more than 60 countries. MangoTreeImports.com and Facebook. Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts, now open for the season with garden supplies, organic fertilizers, mulch, cold hardy annuals and perennials, pansies, flowering trees, shrubs, and more. Whitney'sFarm.com. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones Making Sense of Investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. And the Ashokan Center, presenting Alistair Fraser and Natalie Haas in concert of traditional and contemporary Scottish fiddle and cello music on Sunday, May 1st at 3 p.m. AshokanCenter.org.
We are back, giving us more and more time to do this. Okay, so we got people on the phone. We have two free phones. If you want to get on, these go quick. You'll be get on the queue, as we say. Okay, let's go to... Walter. Walter, of all the people to call from Westfield. Okay, Walter, you're on.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Well, first I have to say that I've been a strong Bernie Sanders supporter from the beginning.
Right.
And I think that some of the stuff that he's been saying about Hillary and the banks and stuff is I think very telling in terms of her as a actual Democrat as opposed to, you know, somebody in the pocket of the 1%. But I just wondered, I heard recently that there was a nationwide poll that said that in a general election, or maybe it was a primary, I don't know, in a nationwide poll, Bernie would beat Hillary, okay? And we both know that they would both beat Donald Trump. The question I had is, do you think it's going to give anybody pause that recently Charles Koch basically endorsed Hillary?
Well, that's a little bit much. He said, to the consternation of many, or to the amazement of many, that he might go for Hillary. He didn't say he would, and he said all kinds of caveats, depended what her platform was, what she said. So it wasn't as if he said. And by the way, she disavowed it right away. She said she didn't want his help.
Of course she would. You know, that can't help her.
Well, no, but here's the point. We discussed this at great length as to whether or not this was a ploy to hurt Hillary, whether this was the idea that, well, perhaps the Koch brothers have a big business and they want the sitting president to be their friend. We don't really know. But let me ask you this, Walter. Suppose, the head Nazi leader endorses somebody for state senator. You think that the state senator should be blamed because the head Nazi leader did that?
Well, it depends on how much money the Senate leader has taken from the head Nazi.
I see.
Wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, but I really don't think it's fair. I remember the civil rights marches. That's how old I am. Going down to Washington, and there were always fringe groups who were trying to attach themselves. And the marshals on our marches were always trying to make sure that those people didn't grab the headlines and the spotlight and tried to disassociate, you know, us from them. I think you have to be careful about this kind of stuff.
Well, I think that it is not an absolute thing by any means.
Yeah.
But it certainly gave me pause because I just think that, you know, if you lay down with pigs, you get up with mud, or lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas or whatever.
Well, as the song goes, and the pig got up and slowly walked away. You can tell a man who boozes by the company he's choosing and the pig got up.
And, you know, it just gave me a lot of pause to see that he would say something like that. I mean, maybe a ploy, but I don't know that they're famous for their subtlety.
Okay. Walter, thank you for the very interesting call. You know, I don't agree with you, but it's important that you made it. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Let's see how you do this. Oh, yeah, here you hang up. Okay, now we'll go to John in Liberty. Okay, John in Liberty, you're on.
Okay, thank you, sir. I was wondering what your opinion of this was, doctor, because, you know, for the most important job in the world, probably.
Yep.
And I was wondering, you know, they drug test so many occupations
this day
and age. Do you think that, you know, that would be something that would be beneficial to the American public to drug test? Because just clinically speaking, I'd have to say a couple of these people, you know, are abusing pharmaceutical drugs, and that's not something you would want in such a position. Right?
Well, it depends about what pharmaceutical means, doesn't it, John? I don't want to give you a hard time, but pharmaceutical drugs could go a long way. I mean, are you talking about, you know, diabetic medicine or
basically
statins?
Any medication. I mean,
what?
They apparently killed Prince, one of the, you know, greatest artists of all time. He was apparently hooked on pharmaceutical drugs. So,
well, you're using pharmaceutical, I believe, in the wrong way. I mean, dangerous pharmaceutical drugs, but you know why Americans are living longer, don't you, John? And they are.
Well, yeah, we could get into that. But anyways, my question is whether you think a drug test would be prudent.
No.
Like all the candidates.
Nah.
But apparently, you know, maybe not. I don't know.
No, well, I'd be opposed to it. But,
okay.
But John, it's a very interesting telephone call, and I appreciate it. And your point is well taken. Your point is well taken that since we're doing it for everybody else, why not the presidential candidates,
right?
Too? Yeah,
absolutely. Right. Okay, that's my vote, sir.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Let's go to Carol in Connecticut. Okay.
Hello, Alan.
Oh, my goodness. I know what you're going to say. Your son voted for Bernie.
I don't have to tell you that.
Well, it says on the little yellow piece of paper, Carol from Connecticut, son voted for Bernie.
What I'm saying is he felt strongly enough that he drove from his college in the Boston area home to Connecticut. And
where in Connecticut?
Do I need to tell you?
No, just give me a, you know, northwest, northeast, south.
North central.
North central. Okay, got it. Okay. Yeah.
And so he, you know, this was a good two-hour drive. And he contacted a couple of friends and said, I'm coming home. Let's go register to vote. And he got them to vote.
Oh, the same day registration in Connecticut?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And I just voted. I'm a full-time college student myself.
Really? Congratulations.
Yeah. At 53.
Well, that's you're a child. You're a child.
So, you know, I was proud of him for doing that. And I have to say that my heart's been with Bernie all along.
Yep.
But I know he doesn't have a chance.
No, not now.
And, but I just, you know, Hillary Clinton's undesirables are just too much for me to overcome.
There are a lot of Democrats who feel the same way. They feel Bernie's unelectable, and they feel Hillary is not their cup of tea.
And even
to make
if Bernie was electable and could win, with what Obama has gone through with the Congress, and everything has been a roadblock.
Well, there's no reason.
Bernie wouldn't get anywhere either.
No, see, I don't know that you're right. First of all, if Bernie were to run in an election and were to win, he might bring some people with him. I think, by the way, that if Hillary is the candidate, she's going to bring a Senate with her. And Bernie really, here's the thing I think about Bernie. The reason I voted for him is because I think he's right. I mean, he's right about so much.
Yes.
But electability is something I worried about because I'm concerned about the Supreme Court.
Right.
I am. And I know that the first day somebody in the FBI would leak his FBI file. I know it.
Yeah.
Which made me want to get my own. Okay, Carol, thank you very much for the great call.
Thank you, Alan.
Appreciate it.
Keep going.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Jeff in Gardner, New York. Okay. Jeff in Gardner. Okay, Jeff, you're on.
Good afternoon. Alan, since you have political science running through your veins, I was hoping you could help me understand something.
Sure.
And that, why do we have to have these parties in the first place? It just seems like we have such a ridiculous situation where we're headed towards Trump, who's like a middle-of-the-road Democrat, and then Hillary, who's kind of like a middle-of-the-road Republican, only to run the opposite parties of each other.
Yeah.
I would like to propose that we would have the populists against the neoliberals.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Now, how are you going to do that again?
I don't know. It's not in the Constitution.
On the contrary, it's because of the way the Constitution defines the Electoral College and does all of that. It's because of all of that. Remember that George Washington, when he left office, talked about the evil of factions. And you know what he meant by that. He meant parties.
So now we got them ingrained.
We do. We do. And you know what? You say, you know, you'd rather not have them. And when people say that to me, I always say to them, okay, so how are you gonna do it? You know it would take a constitutional amendment, right?
To do away with the party?
Not the parties, but the forces that lead to the creation of parties in order to win elections. Don't you see? That's what that's all about.
I'm sorry. Not trying to be obtuse.
Well, you're not obtuse. You're not obtuse. The fact of the matter is that in order to win in the Electoral College, and then somebody will call up and say, oh, yeah, well, why do we need an Electoral College? Well, that's right. You know, but if you had there would be unintended consequences if you had what I think you're asking for, which is a national election. You'd have a multi-party Republican democracy. That's what you'd end up with. And then I don't know. Yeah.
But you don't think there's any hope for me getting the populist?
Well, get out there and work for it.
How would I go about that?
Where do you live? You live in Gardner? Get out in New Paltz and make a sign and stand on the corner on Saturday morning.
Okay.
Talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Britton in Albany. Okay, Britton, you're on.
All right, great. I'm a Bernie supporter, Bernie or bust. And I was writing down a whole bunch of stuff listening to the other callers.
Right.
And there are several things that I wanted to just point out quickly. One, I don't see how Hillary is surviving all of these scandals. I just don't get it. It's like she's bulletproof and there's no good reason. For instance, the Delaware tax haven. You know, something's got to bring down the hammer at some point. She can't survive all of this. That's my opinion.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Britton, are you going to vote for her if she is the candidate and Trump is the other candidate?
You know, we're looking into the other options.
Like what?
I just don't think that I could do it because I just...
And you don't care.
I can't stand her.
You don't give a damn.
I do give a damn.
Wait.
You don't care about... That's why I want Bernie to win.
Okay, so let's assume Bernie doesn't win and the candidates are Hillary and Trump. Or even worse, in my opinion, Cruz, from my perspective. You're not going to vote? Well, somebody will...
I don't know what I'm going to do. There's talk of writing him in. There's talk of Jill Stein. I think that the solution is beyond us at this point and needs to be honed down and worked on.
Even though my fighting with Ralph Nader, and I had a screaming match with him once about this.
I just don't know. I think she's dishonest and a narcissist. And speaking of which, I do think all the presidential candidates need psych evaluations.
Okay.
And if it shows they have a personality disorder, they need to be disqualified. A couple other things real quick. She said she's got 2.5 million more votes. No caucus states are counted in that. Let's clear that up. Another thing is all taxpayers pay for primaries. Why can't we all vote in the primaries? 88% of congressional seats are up for re-election, so Bernie not getting anything done in Congress, I think, is bunk. And obviously Warren for VP, I think Tulsi Gabbard...
Wait. You said 88 are up for re-election?
88%.
Excuse
me. Over 500 of them are up for re-election in November.
Well, if you're talking about the Senate and the House, you'd be right. If you're talking about just the House, as you know, 435 people are going to be up for re-election, which is all of them, not 88% of those.
Okay, I've got that number wrong. Then.
No, you may have it right if you're including the Senate.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Britton, I gotta go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Right. Bye. Okay. Let's go to Arnie in Rotterdam. Okay, Arnie, you're on.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Bernie fan. I followed Bernie since Obama got elected.
Yeah.
I was on Facebook with him.
Well, you may also know that we have followed Bernie on Congressional Corner.
That's
we probably
right.
interviewed him
I
more times than anyone.
I love hearing your interviews with him.
Right.
And
okay.
I know you say... See, I have a difficult time. I'm not too sure I'm going to vote for Hillary if Bernie's not nominated.
Right.
And what I may do if it looks like Hillary, the polls show that she would take New York State.
Are you kidding? Of
it
course.
It would be easy for me. I'll just write in Bernie Sanders' name.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I know you bring up the Supreme Court.
Yes, I do.
And that's that is a good reason, but I'm thinking the other way, too. How are you ever going to change these corporations and these super PACs influencing these politicians?
Right.
I mean, you got to know. I mean, Hillary says it doesn't influence it. But, I mean, like Bernie says, you got to agree. If people are giving you money, I mean, it has to influence you.
Well, you're right.
So, I could look at it this way. So, say Hillary loses the election because a lot of Bernie supporters doesn't vote for her, okay? We may have to suffer what goes down with the Supreme Court.
Well, wait a second. Wait a second. Arnie.
The next time
wait,
the Democrats,
Arnie, you keep talking, but let me ask a question. Can we say that you're a middle-class person?
Yes.
Can we say that you have enough, in the refrigerator and you have enough in terms of, your grandchildren, your children going to school— There are a lot of people in this country who don't have that. So it's easy enough for you to say, well, we may have to live with that. But the we in this case is somewhat disturbing to me because you're not somebody who either is going to get, food stamps to feed her children with or a place to live or the rest of it. So it's, noblesse oblige to sort of say, we may have to live with that. You don't have to live with anything, really. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, that is a big concern to me. And, I mean, I haven't made my decision.
Right.
I mean, I've always been an advocate for the poor. When I was in college, I worked in inner cities and stuff like that. So, yeah, I know what's going on. But how are we going to change things? I mean, I guess it's the people. The people, if they really were concerned about how Wall Street influences politics, et cetera, they could be voting for Bernie.
They could be voting for people in the New York State Legislature who are absolutely refusing to clean up their unethical moral mess.
I mean, people do have the power.
They do.
But for some reason, they don't use it, and that baffles me.
What's the some reason?
Well, I mean, they just go with the status quo, or among the poor, they figure it doesn't make any difference who you get in there. It's not going to help. It's not going to help us.
Arnie, I thank you. There are a lot of people behind you. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's get Bill in Gloversville on the line. Bill in Gloversville, you're on.
I voted for Bernie, but it looks as if Hillary is going to win.
Yep.
And even if it's true that she took some money from the Wall Street bankers, she's not nearly as bad as a Republican. So I'm going to vote for her.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, Bill, there are people who think that Elizabeth Warren should be the vice presidential candidate because she'll bring the left over who might not vote for Hillary, but I don't think that's going to happen. But there is this theory that she's going to need some help getting the Bernie people to move over and vote for her.
Well, if that's a possibility, I will seriously consider it.
Okay. Hey, Bill, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ron in Shaftesbury. All right. Ron in Shaftesbury, you're on now. Your turn.
Hello, Alan. Thank you. First of all, there's just a couple of things I want to mention. There are no Bernie people. Well, there's Bernie people, but the Bernie people are issues people. We like what we see. We haven't seen it in my lifetime, which is over 70 years, where you've got an honest candidate that you can trust that's going to do what he did. So it's Bernie people is maybe one thing, but really it's the movement.
Then how come Bernie went to Hyde Park? If we haven't seen it in my lifetime, I am, of course, older than you are, I suspect. There was FDR. I thought he was a candidate who pretty well knew what he was about, and so did Bernie going to pay homage to him the other day at Hyde Park.
Absolutely, he was excellent. He wasn't voted on that, I don't think. But in any case, I wanted to mention that. The other thing that is really gnawing at me is this voter irregularity.
Yeah. That is troubling. It's very troubling.
Like Rhode Island is the one today that was very heavily favoring Bernie. In here, we have voter irregularity. In New York, we had, 100,000 people? And we're so anxious to say, oh, well, okay, that happened. Let's move on. We'll make sure it won't happen again. When we know that if there is no penalty for it, they'll keep doing it because it helps them win.
Well, that's why the state attorney general Eric Schneiderman seems to be so adamant about making this happen, making this investigation happen.
But he's not saying, let's revote Brooklyn.
No, he's not saying that.
It's happening. And Hillary's saying, well, I can get a lot more out of Congress. Hell, she can't even get out of Benghazi. Why are people willing to think that she can deal with the Congress?
Ron, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
for WAMC comes from Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com. Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, connecting food, farm, and community. Organically grown CSA shares now available for the 2016 season. FarmProject.org. Northshire Bookstore, presenting poets Alison Prine and Karen Gottschall with their new collections of poetry April 30th at 7 p.m. in Manchester, Vermont. Northshire.com. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Thank you, Zachary. Good music you're playing there today. Let's go to Christine in Saratoga. Christine.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, you know, I've got a couple points. The first point is I need to say I'm so incredibly disappointed with the way that the media has handled this whole election season. And this station included has caused a lot of disappointment in me, especially as a lifelong listener. I'm 47 years old and grew up on this station. And, you know, I feel that as if Bernie has been treated consistently as if he was a novelty Nazi candidate. And even
Did you say a Nazi candidate?
Oh, of course not. A novelty.
Oh, novelty. Yeah.
And I know that you're a supporter. I know you said you voted for him, but it just seems as if he has been continually presented to the public as somebody who'd never had a chance to begin with.
Well, Christine,
he pulled in at rally after rally after rally, and continues to do so.
Well, that's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, look, Bernie's been on this station. I take some real exception to what you're saying. And Bernie's been on this station.
You would.
Well, too bad. I mean, you know, the great thing about Vox Pop is you get to go on and you get to say what you want, and then I get to say what I want.
What I'm saying is
Bernie Sanders has been on this thing again and again, probably 100 times on the congressional corner. We're not ignoring Bernie. That's for sure.
Let me just ask you a question. How many times has Bernie Sanders been brought up on the station with the words after anything that's said about him? But of course, he's not going to win.
Well, I think there is a general feeling that she's pretty far ahead.
That general feeling can be shaped in part by the media, media perception of what's taking place.
Okay.
Here's my other point. My other point is this idea that we need to vote for Hillary Clinton if Bernie doesn't win the election in order to, to secure our support, so Supreme Court nominee and, countless other issues. And I've got to say again, I don't agree with this anymore. I believe very firmly that until we start standing up and saying, you know what, this two-party system is not working, has not been working, and we need an alternative, and we're going to show that with our vote. It might not happen this time around, but if enough people start speaking with their votes, we can open up our political system. And so when it comes around this time, if Hillary wins, I will not be voting for her. I'll be voting for either Bernie Sanders as a write-in, or I'll be voting for Jill Stein. And I think more and more people need to start speaking with their votes and breaking out of this system of just voting for the lesser of two evils.
Well, as I have said to previous people, and I refer you to those comments, it's one thing for a middle-class person to say that. It's another when voting rights are being taken away by a right-wing Supreme Court. We see it in North Carolina today when the first thing on the top of the agenda for some of these Republican candidates is to do away with, Social Security as we know it or these other things. I think, Christine, and this is what makes us different, is that there are choices to be made. And I agree with you. That's why I voted for Bernie. I think he's right on the issues. But there's no question in my mind that, in the old days, the communists used to say, OK, let's get the fascists in there, because that way the country will go to hell and maybe we can make some changes.
See, and I wouldn't be arguing to that, we vote this way to allow the country to go to hell to make these changes. I say we argue it because change does take time. Just like Hillary says, change takes time. And in order to make that change happen, we have to be consistent in voting the people that really do represent the
people. OK, fair enough.
I'm a teacher in a low-income district. district where my kids have 75% free and reduced lunch because they live below the poverty line. And while I voted for Obama twice, I love the man. Our system, our current system under just Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican, Democrat is not working for those families.
And I want you to, and okay, I hear you. And I want you to think about those kids that you're teaching and their home and their homes and what money there is to support them and whether they get a meal or not and whether they have housing that some people would give them. Christine, thank you. We disagree, but it's important that you called, and I thank you very much for doing it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much.
Right. Let's go to Ted in Ulster. Okay, Ted, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm looking at the Declaration and the Constitution here in my hand.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
The Declaration says something about the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Constitution's like 10th line is to assure domestic tranquility.
Yep.
And I hear from the Bernie people that I think 85 individuals have 50% of the wealth in the United States or the world.
Well, I don't know how many, but I can tell you this much. It's very few people have the money in this country compared to the rest of us. So we're talking about the one percenters, of course, and we know about that.
I feel that the industrialized world, we are the 1%.
That's true.
Compared to the people that don't have toilets, et cetera.
Yep.
And perhaps we can replace life, liberty, and happiness with food, clothing, and shelter for all.
Perhaps. Good point.
And that would ensure global tranquility.
Okay. Ted, when they said domestic tranquility, I don't wish to bust your bubble, but you know what that meant. That meant there weren't going to be any riots, and that's why the Constitution was putting itself in place. That's what domestic tranquility meant.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Connor in Woodstock. Okay, Connor in Woodstock, go.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to call to fervently disagree with several of your past Democratic callers. I think it's very short. I've called and said this before, but I think it's incredibly short-sighted not to consider Hillary Clinton's qualities and credentials going forward into the national election. A lot of people talk with this very idealistic idea that their vote will make the difference in a sense as being a protest vote, yet they talk about populist parties, they talk about doing all this change, and yet we are so swept up in this national election now that we don't work as hard to make these changes in the off election years. And I would say if you really want to be the vessel for that kind of change, take your vote, give it to the Democratic victor, let the country make the tiny stride forward, however insignificant you may believe it to be, and work even harder when there isn't a national election. Because with these primaries going longer and longer every year, your window to sort of shape the way they are discussed and even happen becomes smaller and smaller.
Okay, Connor, I thank you for your thoughtful call. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to Shannon in Saratoga. Okay, Shannon, you're on. Your turn.
Hi. I was just talking with some of my friends the other day about Trump's past statements about if he were to ever run for president, he would go Republican because he thinks that the people that make up the party are not the smartest. What do you think the chances are if he were to win the general election to return to his roots?
Well, you know, that apparently one of the things I'll be glad to talk to you about that, because I think one of the things that has confused me about Trump so much, and nobody has ever really given me an acceptable answer, at least as far as I'm concerned, and that is, Shannon, why the Republican Party hates Trump so much. A lot of people
think he's
an unguided missile. And every once in a while, he'll say something which makes them hold their heads and say, uh-oh. So you may be right on some things. Look, he's a negotiator. He's a deal maker. And he may feel in order to make the deal, in order to do what he needs to do, he has to have some level of, of compromise in him.
Could you imagine, though, if he won and then he just kind of looked at the party and was like, I told you so, and kind of went on his way and did his own thing? I just think it would be if that were to happen, for as much as I would dislike that outcome, I think it would be funny to see that.
Shannon, very thoughtful of you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Aaron in Albany. All right, Aaron in Albany, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, this has been brought up already a couple times, but I'm wondering, you know, what your opinion is on how, you know, when you mentioned Bernie and how he's unelectable, I'm wondering how you think that affects the other vote people that have not yet voted. You know, the people who have yet to make their decisions. And
what's your? I don't get your point, Aaron. I don't get
my
your
point.
You mean if Alan Chartok, a trained political scientist, says that there's a problem because in this country there's a middle class, a middle range of people between Republican and Democrat who virtually rule every election. Are you telling me that I should shut up? Is that what you're saying?
No, absolutely not. I'm just wondering how that comment affects the narrative, as opposed to, say, using the airtime now to talk about Bernie's history and Bernie's record. You know, if people are not educated about Bernie Sanders and what he's done, and how he has proven to be a leader and made very smart decisions as a legislator, you know, I think that's more important that people hear that, as opposed to saying whether or not what the national polls say in another state, or whether or not we think he's electable or Hillary's electable. You know, I think it's important that we educate the people about, you know, what he's done.
Well, who's done more to do that? Who's
spending their time? Like, a lot of people don't actually get those.
Yeah, yeah, no, I hear you. But who's done more of that? WAMC, which has had on Bernie 100 times, giving his opinion virtually each time on a policy matter, or you?
You're right. And I haven't listened to WAMC a million times.
Okay. But...
No, I voted in Democrats Abroad because that's where I was when the primary came
Fair enough. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate your call. Really. Okay, let's go to Jim in Adams. All right. Jim in Adams, you're on.
Good afternoon, Dr. Chartok. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I wonder if you saw the column by Michael Gerson from the Washington Post that appeared in the Berkshire Eagle this morning about how Trump's... pivoting now of his positioning himself means that he's going to have to make a, it says Trump pivot means a Trump reversal. He's going to have to repudiate everything he's been shouting and screaming and caterwauling about.
He doesn't care.
Garrulous things he says.
He doesn't care. His whole thing is electability. Really.
I know.
And apparently people are ready for it. In other words, they're saying we don't care that you reverse yourself. Because, you know, we don't know what we think. You're allowed not to know what you're thinking. You're allowed to reverse field. You say what you mean. That's what they like about him. Look,
well,
it's not Alan talking.
You know, it just shows another great instance of unfit he is for the office that he's running for, actually.
Well, there are people who don't like Hillary because, you know, they don't like the fact that she took the money or that she, you know, is too close to the corporations or that she got something from the bank.
Bill of Burn, that's all I have to say on that.
Yeah, well, and then there's people who don't like Bernie because they don't think he can bring the Congress with him. And then there are people like you who are saying Trump is ill-suited because he changes his mind too much and he's all over
the... have to completely repudiate the brand he's been putting forward, the Trump name, the Trump brand. And once he repudiates his Trump name and brand, what does he have left? Nothing.
Jim, thank you for that. All right, let's go to Bruce in Plainfield. All right, Bruce, keep it short. We're trying to get out of here. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. I have a short comment. I lived for 13 years in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was also actually a poll worker. And so I just thought it was important to insert that. Yeah, I've heard a couple of people expressing concerns about how Rhode Island is handling the primaries, and I don't think there's anything different about how Rhode Island is handling this primary versus previous primaries. They typically don't open as many polling places for primaries as they do for general elections, and it can create some confusion about where to go to vote, and there's concern about that. But I think people are reading too much into it to think that this is something special going on with this election.
Yeah.
It's not. It's just the system.
Just for the sake of argument, Bruce, what if the Attorney General finds, in fact, that there are some organized things going on here to deprive people who might vote for in certain electoral districts more heavily for one than the other. That would be of concern, wouldn't
it? That I would certainly be concerned about and would want to have looked into. I'm actually a Bernie Sanders supporter, and so I want to see him get a fair shot.
Yeah.
I was also going to note, actually, that Rhode Island, particularly the urban areas, are pretty dense. Some of the denser population areas, more densely populated areas in the country. And so most of the polling places, even in primaries, the polling places are generally within reasonable walking distance of most people, whether you're on a campus or just in a neighborhood.
Okay. So. Bruce, thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Andrew in Kingston. Andrew, you're on.
Hi, good to talk to you, Alan.
Sure.
Great. First, let me start by saying that I believe you believe in Bernie, and I'm not going to say anything critical of you. What I would like to say, however, is that, I'm not sure about what's going on in Rhode Island, but I know that what happened in Brooklyn, I know that there's something hinky really going on in this election.
Yeah, you could be right.
Bernie has these huge rallies. He's got 40,000 people in Prospect Park, something like that.
Yep.
And
people show up.
He still loses the election. Yeah. I'm in Ulster County. We went 2-1 for Bernie.
Yes. If your thesis was right, Andrew, only because we don't have a lot of time here. If your thesis was right, then the election was loaded and somehow people were not getting counted. Here's Bernie winning 2-1. Doesn't that damage your own argument?
I don't follow you.
Well, they counted those votes, didn't they? And he won in Ulster County.
They didn't count them. There were all kinds of irregularities.
Said he won 2-1, didn't you?
Well, he won 2-1 in Ulster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, if it was all so loaded.
And everything I see about that, every once in a while I go, well, maybe she's not too bad.
Okay,
but
Andrew.
Well, let me just say.
No, I can't. Thank you very much. I wish I could because we just want to get everybody in here. Philip in Plainfield. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Thanks.
It's got to be 1 minute. Go ahead.
I'm a little sick of hearing so much about Hillary taking the money from the corporations.
Yep.
I think it's great that she does. Let the money go into her coffer. Do you want all the people like Cheney and people like that?
Yeah, but it's not.
Getting
it's
the money.
But it's not going into her coffer. It's going into her bank account. That's a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'd rather see it go that way than the other way.
Okay. All right, Philip, an interesting look at it. I thank you for calling. We'll go to, I can't see it there, Susie. Okay, Mary Lou in Rhinebeck. Okay, Mary Lou, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. I know I've got just a second.
You do.
The Republicans, when I look at that side, there's nothing to vote for. And so when I look at Hillary and Bernie, although I may vote for Hillary, I think that Bernie is probably the better person.
Okay.
But I'm not willing to let Bernie cut his teeth in the presidency, given the situation that we have internationally and nationally.
Okay, fair enough. You got to stop there because that's a good place to stop, and I appreciate your letting us know. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Okay, so I'm afraid we are out of time, and we got a lot of letters by email, but one I want to read you just very quickly. Should Sanders encourage his followers to vote for Clinton? Up to you to decide that. And then I got a letter that is so outrageous that I'm not going to read it because it accuses people of having mental illness. I don't do that. The depredations of a president, Hillary Clinton, on the poor and slipping working class are terrible to contemplate, says Steve. I'm sorry, we are out of time, everybody. And I have to read some stuff here. And if my fingers would only work, it would be good. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Fulton County Tourism in the Southern Adirondack Park. Relax, play, wander, and discover 44 lakes, 44 choices. Full calendar at 44lakes.com. 9-Pin Ciderworks, serving New York hard ciders made from locally sourced apples. Tasting room open Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, downtown Albany. Be revolutionary. Consider the apple. 9pincider.com. Saratoga.com, Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades, ShannonRose.com, and Maybe Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, New York, presenting Migration Celebration featuring nature walks, live birds, crafts, demos, talks, and more. Sunday, May 1st from 11 to 3, SchenectadyHistorical.com. Remember, thank you so much. You can always get online with us and leave your comments at WMC.org. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Checkeye. Boy, was she good today. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.